Thank you for listening. For other great sermons, please visit us online at www.berkshirehillsbaptist.com.
Kings 17. We've already read where Elijah, he was a prophet of God. He had spoke out against the king and queen, Ahab and Jezebel. And through Elijah, there was a drought. And the drought was going to last until Elijah said, that's enough. And God had sent him to the brook Cherith. And at the brook, he was to be fed by those scavengers of the sky, ravens. Personally, that would take a lot of faith to be fed by meat and bread brought to you by ravens. Just think about it. But on the other hand, think how God can supply you in some of the most unusual ways. Many times we say, God, I need this, and this is how I want you to supply it. And yet, that doesn't always happen. I was talking to my son last night, asking him, did he have all the money he needed to make his missions trip? And he says that's kind of hard to really say. He said an amount that he needed, yet many of the things have changed. Like, for example, part of his amount assumed that they would have to pay rent for the whole time they're gone, yet the house they're living in, they're actually going to be moving out and getting a new place when they get back. So now they don't have to pay rent. And several other things like that happened where they had accounted for certain items and yet they've been supplied in different ways. And that happens in our lives. We say, God, I need this. And, but God sometimes, he sends a raven your way to give you something, to show his grace to you and supply what you need in a miraculous way. And that's what he did with Elijah. He even put him by a brook that had nice cold brook water and this drought. But then the brook dried up. Bummer. I mean, if you're only getting fed basically bread and water with some flesh thrown in the side and the water dries up, eating the bread's going to become pretty dry after a while. So what's he going to do now? He just allowed God to supply again. Verse 8. Once the brook had dried up, it says, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Now, Zarephath is you remember reading in scriptures about Tyre and Sidon? Jesus had preached a lot about how bad they were. They were two Gentile cities. They're on the coast of, what's that sea over there? No, the big one. Mediterranean, thank you. I know it started with an M, but, you know. So what happens when you don't write everything down. The Mediterranean, so Tyre and Sidon. And right in the middle of Tyre and Sidon is this little town of Zarephath. And that's where he sent him to. He went from where he was going to be at the brook Cherith all the way up to the Gentile town. And probably about 100 to 110 mile journey. In the middle of a drought. Elijah never questioned God. And that's what we need to do. Sometimes God will send us to places and cause us to do things that seem totally unreasonable to the human mind. But God has a plan. So he says, you go to Zarephath. He says, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, God never actually spoke to the widow woman as far as we know. So how could he command her? Well, that word command also has the meaning of appointed. And what he's telling Elijah is, you have a need, and she has a need, and I've appointed her to meet your need, and when she meets your need, I'm going to meet her need also. That's God's grace. That's how he works sometimes. So he rose, verse 10, and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water and a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Dear Lord, as we look at your word this morning, let us consider how great a God you are. Let us learn, Lord, to rely on your grace. Let us, Lord, to increase our faith and understand that as a mighty God, you will take care of your people. We thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at this, we see that this widow, she had quite a few problems. First of all, she was a widow with one son. Now, it's bad enough being a widow in today's society, but being a widow back then was even rougher because the culture was different. The men supplied all of the money for the house. The woman stayed home and worked. Women didn't go out to work that much. And so when the husband died, the woman was left alone, and she basically would starve to death unless people were nice to her. Being a widow woman with one son, it kind of gives you the idea that she didn't have any family around to take care of her. It was a drought going on. So here's this lonely woman, just her and her son. She's got this terrible problem because she has no income and there's a drought going on at the same time. She's literally down to the last bit in her cupboard. You know the old children's thing, but you go to the cupboard and it's bare? That was this woman. So she was lonely. She didn't have anything. All she had was her son. And she figured that even he was going to die pretty soon as they had this little meal. And God told Elijah, she's the one that's going to help you survive. Oh, you got to be kidding me. You know, from a human standpoint, if you were down to nothing, you had nothing left, you had no food, there was a drought, and God said, never fear, I've prepared somebody that's going to help you through this. And we'd go, yes, praise the Lord. Must be some rich guy. You know, must be some rich family. Maybe, today we'd say, well, it's going to be the government. Maybe I'm going to win the lottery. What? And we think all these expansive things. And then God comes to you and says, you see that poor woman over there that doesn't have anything? She's the one that's going to help you. That's what most of us would do. You got to be kidding me, right? She's worse off than I am. How can she help me when she has less than I have and I don't have anything? With men, things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You know, sometimes God impresses upon our hearts, your heart, my heart. And truth be told, we probably, none of us really have a lot. I mean, we have a lot than some, but. And if God said, there's a prophet of God coming, and you're going to help him survive until the rain comes again, I want you to feed him. I want you to house him. Even with what we have, many of us would say, Lord, how can I do that? I don't have enough food. I don't have enough this. I don't have enough whatever. You see, not only was Elijah's faith being tested, but the widow woman's was too. Not only was Elijah going to be able to experience the grace of God and relieving all his distresses, but the one helping him was going to be able to experience the grace of God too. And when God impresses upon our hearts to help somebody out, even though we feel we may not be able to do it, we have to understand that God's grace will allow you to do that. But it takes our faith to believe that that can really happen. So this poor woman, she just figured, hey, we're going to have our last meal is going to be a little cake. Actually, she was gathering two sticks, and she was going to take this little bit of flour, mix it with a little bit of oil, make a little dough, wrap it on a stick, stick it over the fire. You know, it's sort of like eating a pigs in a blanket without the pig. And then they were just going to die because they had no more. She gives us the idea that not only did she have no more, she had no way of getting any more. And so here's the audacity of this prophet. First thing, in the middle of a drought, he goes, and he's a nice guy, by the way. I mean, he's very polite. Notice he says first to, in verse 10, the second part, he goes, fetch me, I pray thee. That word, I pray thee, that has the idea of being polite. Please, please, would you get me a glass of water? That probably was pretty tough because it was a drought. Yeah, they lived on the coast of the Mediterranean, but still. That would have been a lot to ask. And she said, sure. So she ran off to get the glass of water, and as she's leaving, he goes, oh yeah, could you please bring me some bread? And she's like, well, wait a minute, that's going to be a little tougher. I only have a little bit for me and my son to eat and die, and you're asking for all of it for yourself? But you know what? She had enough faith. When he told her, that's okay, you feed me first, and God will feed you for a long time. That's a whole different mindset than we have today in America, isn't it? You know, America's mindset is, I'll take care of myself first. If there's any left, I'll take care of you. But what if God directs us to take care of somebody else first before we take care of ourselves? That's what happened here. And we see that it took a little faith on both of their parts to be able to carry this through. It took Elijah's faith to believe that a poor widow woman would be able to supply his needs. But why did he do that? Why would he be able to believe that? Because Elijah knew that what we have, Elijah knew that what he had, Elijah knew that what the widow woman had, all comes from Almighty God. And even though the woman at that point in time had nothing, Elijah had the faith to believe if God said she would have enough, then she would have enough. Man, that's a lot of faith. But that's the kind of faith God wants us to have. He wants us to have the kind of faith that when God says, this is what's going to happen, we believe that's what's going to happen, and we act as if it's already happened. That's what Elijah did. Elijah went to her and said, feed me some bread, knowing she only had a little. No, and even after she said, I've only got enough for one meal. He had enough faith to believe that if God said there's going to be more, there's going to be more. Sometimes what we do, we go, oh, we would go, oh, that's all you have? Well, maybe I'll just take the glass of water. I know God said he would supply, but maybe I'll just take the glass of water. But Elijah, he had more faith than most of us have. He had the kind of faith that God wants us to have. He had the kind of faith to believe that even though it hadn't happened, it will happen. Do you have that kind of faith? Do you have the kind of faith where you can ask something for God in prayer, and the next thing you say is, thank you, Lord, for letting it happen, even though you haven't seen it happen yet? That's the kind of faith God wants us to have. The faith like Elijah had. The faith to believe that something is going to happen that God said is going to happen, even though we haven't seen it. We kind of exhibit that. God said that when the trumpet blows, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive will be caught up together with him in the air. Do you believe that's going to happen? Do you live like you believe it's going to happen? Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't. You know, as believers, we believe, we know God said it, and we're hoping that he's right, but we live sometimes as if it's not going to happen. But we need to be like Elijah and live like what God said is going to happen really is going to happen. And it can happen at any moment. Many believers say, well, yeah, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that. And yeah, I know it's going to take me away from doing what God wants me to, but God, I understand, I can get back to doing it later. But what if in the middle of doing what you know God doesn't want you to do, the trumpet sounds, and you go, really, Lord, now? This is supposed to come later. No, God says, when's it going to happen? At any moment. As a thief in the night. The trumpet could sound, and we're going to be gone. So how should we live? We should live as if the trumpet's going to sound at any moment. Yes. That's right.
That's all that's left.
Yep, that's it. We're waiting for the trumpet. And you know what? We need to live believing it could happen at any moment. And make decisions believing it could happen at any moment. And witness believing it could happen at any moment. That's what faith is. Faith is believing God for something that hasn't happened yet and knowing it's going to happen. That's what Elijah did. Yeah, lady, I know that's the last bit of stuff you have, but God said he's going to replace it, so feed me, please. He was nice about it because he told her. So this widow obeyed. She obeyed First the request for water, then she obeyed the quest for food. Why? Well, it's sort of like when Jesus spoke to Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus. You know what he told them? He said, if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. Many times we go through life and we want to see the glory of God in our lives, but we don't believe enough. To be honest, we don't believe enough. We don't trust enough. And we say, where's the glory of God in the lives? I want to see the glory of God. And like Jesus told the sisters of Lazarus, you have to believe if you want to see it. This widow woman, she had to believe the man of God in order to see what was going to happen. Because if she'd have been like most people and said, pal, I'd like to help you out, but I'm looking forward to dying here pretty soon because this is my last meal. So why don't you go to the next house and bother them because me and my son are going to eat this little cake and we're going to die. But the widow woman had enough faith to believe what the man of God said, what the prophet of God said. Wow. And look what happened to her. It tells us that she believed, and God allowed her resources to run out. Because when she fixed that cake that day, when she reached her hand in for that last bit of meal, that was the last bit. When she poured the oil out, she got every drop. It was gone. But then by faith, she went back and checked it to make her and her son's meal. And guess what? There was more flour in there, and there was more oil. God allowed her to completely run out of all her resources, and then he supplied. You know, sometimes, here's what we do. Okay, God, I know you said you're going to supply. And I know there's only a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour, so I'm only going to use half of it for the prophet, half of the oil for the prophet, and save half for me and my son. But that's not what God told her to do. He said, you know, feed this guy. It's going to take all of it. And so sometimes God wants us basically to get to the bottom of the barrel before he starts filling that barrel up. Faith. To believe God, no matter how tough it seems. Probably a lot of us in here have been to the bottom of the barrel before. And it could be anything. It could be food. It could be problems in your life. It could be family problems. It could be whatever. And we feel like, this is it. Lord, just take me home because I'm ready. And God says, you may be ready to come, but I'm not ready to take you. And after all, since he's God, I would rather him make the decision than me. And so the widow woman, she looked in there, and once it was all empty, and she went back, and what happened? There was stuff in there. He supplied. And when we get to the bottom of our barrel, and whatever problems we may have in life, if we trust God, he'll put more in it. He'll encourage us with his grace. He'll relieve us with his grace to carry on for one more day. And it says that until the drought ended, she never ran out of flour and she never ran out of oil. And if you read the rest of the story, that was probably for at least another year or more. Man, where do I get one of those barrels? Where do I get one of those cruises? You let God supply it. You see, the magic wasn't in the barrel. The power was in Almighty God. And I'm sure if she went out and told her friends, guess what? I've got this barrel That I empty it one day and the next day I go, it's full again. Probably all of her Gentile friends would have said, would you sell it to me? Would you sell me that magic barrel? But it wasn't the barrel. And sometimes we got to be careful we don't attribute things that God do to us to the thing. It wasn't the barrel that was the good part. It wasn't even the flower that was the good part. It was her faith allowing the power of God to work in her life was the good part. That's where the grace came. Allowing the power of God to work in our lives. And that's what each of us need to do. Do you allow the power of God to work in your life? Do you allow your faith to be strong enough that, yeah, you may not have a good day today. You may think this is it. And God says, no, it's not. You may come to the bottom of your barrel, to the end of your rope, whatever else you want to describe it. But God says, you have faith in me. And I'll let my grace just flow over you and I will supply every you need. Doesn't his word tell us that he'll never let his own be forsaken? That's a promise. But he expects his own to trust him no matter what it is. So this widow woman, she had the faith to believe that really when she was serving Elijah, she realized she wasn't just serving Elijah, she was serving God. Isn't that what the scriptures say? Something like Colossians 3:23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. We have to remember that sometimes. When God directs us to help somebody, we're not just helping them, we're helping God. What did Jesus say when he left? He says, if you give a drink of water to the least of these, you're giving it to me. If you feed some of the least of my children, it's like you're feeding me. And so when we have the faith to believe that if God directs us to somebody that needs help, everybody wins. Because you'll feel the grace of God in your life. They'll feel the grace of God in their life. And God will get the glory because we're doing it for him to begin with. That's what God wants from us. And I can't imagine if every believer in the world would start acting this way. And stop thinking about themselves so much. And start thinking, what does God want me to do? You know, the widow woman, she had a right, a human right to say or to think just about herself and her son. We would look at it and say, she had the right to say, I only got a little, just let me eat it and die. But that's a human right. That's not a godly right. God says, no, we don't get to make that kind of decision. God makes that kind of decision. And God said, I'm not prepared for you to die yet. I'm not prepared for your son to die yet. In fact, as we're going to look at tonight, her son actually did die and Elijah brought her back to life, brought him back to life. He says, my plan for you is not to die. My plan for you is to take care of the prophet. And she did so. And they were all winners. And they all give God the glory. And just because this occurred a thousand years ago or more, several thousand years ago, you know what? The God we serve is still a mighty God. The God we serve still cares about his people. And the God we serve still wants his people to have the faith to follow him wherever he leads. And the faith to do whatever he requires. It may not make sense to you or to me, but it doesn't really have to. God wants us to just have faith that when he says, "Thus saith the Lord," we say, "Good enough for me." Let's all stand, please. I know some of you are looking at your watches and thinking, man, this guy preached a long time. Well, that's because the clock in the back broke. So, you know, if you don't want me preaching quite so long, maybe you can buy us a nice big clock we can put back there for me to keep an eye on. But I think the Lord wanted us to hear something this morning. You know, the song Amazing Grace, my favorite song, it says, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved." We need God's grace in our lives. But in order to really feel God's grace, we need to exercise faith. The followers of Jesus said, "What do we need to do?" And his simple answer was this: have faith in God and trust him. And then do what he asks us to do. If someone's brought to you that has a need, sometimes, you know, we say, if you can meet the need, meet it. And that's true. Sometimes we try to talk ourselves out of it. Well, if I meet their need, I won't have anything for myself. But we need to think like the widow woman. In her case, God allowed her to meet Elijah's need and then supplied her more than what she started with. God wants to relieve you no matter what your problems are, no matter what your burden. But we just have to allow him to do so. Let's bow our heads and pray. And as we pray, I'd like to ask you to ask yourself, how strong is my faith? Do I have the kind of faith that I could be like Elijah and go to somebody that was worse off than me just because God asked me to, directed me to? Could I be like the widow woman and have that kind of faith, believing that God would supply even after I give up everything? Do I have the kind of faith to serve God wherever he puts me? Am I allowing God's grace to fill my life every day? Only you can answer that. But if you need to pray to God about any of those things, now will be the time as we go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your love and your guidance. Lord, we even thank you for the patience you show to us sometimes. But Lord, we do thank you for the grace that you bestow upon us. Help us, Lord, to have the faith like Elijah did, like that widow woman did. The faith, Lord, that believes that the impossible can happen when God's behind it. The faith, Lord, to believe that whatever we do to the Lord and not unto men. Help us, Lord, to be the kind of servants you want us to be. Lord, as each of us examine our hearts, perhaps there's some sin or iniquity within them that's keeping us from doing this. We ask now, Lord, that each of us examine our hearts, and if there is that dwelling there, Lord, that we repent of it and seek your forgiveness so that we can serve you, Lord, by faith. We thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.